Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanika Oberhuber. I am your host. My guest today is Mandy Alexis. Hi.
Hi.
So wonderful to have you here. And I'm so excited to hear what you have to say and what you're going to share with us. And I'm sure you're going to have a whole lot of tools in your repertoire that will help us as well, no matter what issues we're dealing with. So I'd like to ask you, how did you come to see the world the way you do today?
Okay. So my story is that I was a functioning cocaine addict for 16 years. I'm now 3 years clean. So after many hurdles and struggles and trauma, I have come to see the world today through all that diversity has brought me to this other side of more clarity and love and hope and belief and all that. And my journey with drugs started way before the addiction to the cocaine, because I was 12 when I first started trying marijuana. Then by 14, 15, I started experimenting with mushrooms and acid. By 16, ecstasy. And at 14 on, most of those things are always mixed with alcohol. So then by the time I turned 19, I had switched over to cocaine, which became my drug of choice, which I had actually had told myself, like, I would never touch hard drugs. And then, you know, I guess being in the server world, starting to go to the bar, it was just there. And I thought, let's try it. And then I did. I always thought to myself, oh, well, now I'll be able to stop like whenever I want. But it became very much a part of like what my life was. So I would do it at work. I would do it at home. Sometimes I would be up for days, so I'd have to like continue to do it throughout the day to like get through to whatever I was doing that day. And then, you know, it stopped being fun. It stopped being fun. And I stopped enjoying my life, even though I was like progressing in life in the sense of, you know, like I had opened a couple different businesses. I, you know, I've appeared, I had a social life, like outside, it looked like I had my shit together. And, but I was suffering inside and destroying myself inside, which in turn was starting to reflect the things I was attracting from the outside. So I had some very horrible relationships with men, and it was one relationship in particular where we did a lot of partying together, and he kind of just like, it was like a Jekyll and Hyde moment. He was one person, then he was another person. And I realized, you know, if I'm going to want the love that I want, the life that I want, if I'm going to want to give back to the world in the capacity that I knew I could, and I knew I wanted to, that I was going to have to let go of everything that I had known basically my entire life. And, you know, when I had made that decision, it wasn't like just boom and I was done. I did fall off the wagon a couple times when I had first made the decision, but I would go, you know, months at a time and then maybe fall back for a weekend. And I remember one of my friends saying to me like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Like you did it for so long and now you've stopped, like, for so long, you did this one time, like it's okay. And one of the things that really helped get me, like push me to keep going was I held myself accountable. I didn't let it be okay, because it wasn't okay. If it was okay, then I would just continue down that path, and that was not the life I wanted. So, you know, I ended up having to have some really tough conversations with friends, basically saying, you know, I don't want this anymore. If you want me in your life, then we need to find other ways to connect, because I will just shut you out. Like, this is not the life I want. So I had one friend who had like reached out to me quite often, and like, you know, we'd go for ice cream or for walks. Like, I had to stop doing, like, you know, everything I used to do, because, you know, everything led to the drugs. We'd go for dinner, have some drinks. Well, then we would do drugs. We'd go bowling, have some drinks, then we would do drugs. Like, it really was my life. So I had to have those hard conversations. I had to find basically, like, who is Mandy? I had to discover who I was without that part of my life. And there was some very, very challenging times. But I knew there was better after this super hard time, right? Because for anyone who is struggling with addictions or has, like, the withdrawals is a real thing, right? So the way I was feeling was very strange. Sometimes my brain would feel like it was on fire. And I knew, like, how to fix this quickly would just be to jump right back into, like, you know, the party. And I had to fight that and find new community and new ways to heal myself from pains before I would like, you know, something bad would happen in life. Okay, well, we'll go out and drink and do drugs, and then we forget about it for a bit, right? So there was a lot of things happening all at once, but, you know, I knew that better was on the other end of all of these challenges and hardships. I just kept pushing forward.
Do you have any idea what triggered your getting into drugs at all? Did you have some issues, or was it just curiosity, or what got you into it in the first place?
Well, I mean, at the young age, I just remember it being experimenting and wanting to see how it made me feel. But if I, like, that's what I remember thinking as a child. But I came from, I mean, my father is an alcoholic, and there's, like, traumas around that, like the way he'd come home, the way he'd treat us. He wouldn't show up when he said he would. So as I am healing more and learning more about the effects of those types of things, I would say now that young Mandy was probably trying to, like, alter the reality of things in her life by, you know, doing these drugs and hiding from, you know, any kind of pain or suffering that was happening then. Like, you know, and I don't think, like, I wasn't thinking that in that moment, but I think, just like I said, knowing what I know about traumas and altering realities to try to, like, heal that as a kid, I think that was, you know, we were having fun, so I didn't feel, like, depressed, and that's why I was doing it. But there definitely, I would think, would be some sort of subconscious thing that was trying to pull me out of what my reality was.
Yeah, now what I think is very important is to find out what got you out of it for a reason, right? And I think one of the big issues, and of course in miracles we speak of guilt as being the drug that everyone has, right? And the one we have to get out of. So to recognize our purity, our holiness, our sinlessness. And how did you do that? Because you obviously decided you can't live that way anymore, and you had a reason for that, because you said you were having a hard time within. It looked like you were functioning, but your feelings within were awful, right? And it was hard to take. So you changed your mind about a lot of things in order to get out of it. And I would like to hear about that shift, more of what you have to say about it.
So I literally had to recondition my mind and change my mindset completely about what life was. So what I did when I was first getting like off of the drug addiction was I learned about the addiction first to understand what was going on through my mind. And then I learned about the brain on, and I learned how to recondition and what conditioning means, right? So you become the habits of what you do every day. So even if like any unhealthy habits, like we, you know, you get out of bed, just something as simple as if you get out of bed and you're always thinking today's going to be a horrible day, well, you like that just becomes who you are. You don't even, you know, you don't even realize it, right? But that just becomes who you are. So you have to be aware, A, that you're having these thoughts, and then B, stop them and come up with a better thought. So for me, my brain, like everything was, we solve it with drugs, or we celebrate with drugs. We, you know, we're doing this, it's drugs. So I had to recondition how I thought the world, I could function in the world, right? And yeah, it took a lot of like stopping thoughts, replacing them with new ones, right? And I really did put a lot of effort into that reconditioning, and I think that helped like push me forward faster, because right away, as I was like weaning off the drugs, or like, you know, getting far, my space was getting farther and farther from when I was doing them, I was understanding what was happening to me. And then as I kept reconditioning myself to become more and more of the person that I wanted to be, I got further and further from that life. And there actually was a moment where, so I was dating a new guy. He knew that I was, you know, like recovering, and he had a small child, and my big push was, what kind of mother or stepmother do you want to be? What kind of woman do you want to be for him? What kind of woman do you want to be for yourself? And there was no way that I wanted to bring drugs and addictions into that home, especially knowing what that effect was on me as a child, right? So that moment of, no, I will not repeat those patterns, was a big push for me to become a better person and a better version of myself.
Yeah, this is a big topic to think about. So you said you reinvented yourself, right? And what A Course in Miracles is saying, that we are love already, right? So it's actually remembering who you actually are. But you're saying that you, in the terms of A Course in Miracles, but you described it as reinventing yourself. But do you feel more like who you actually are through this process, or is it like this is someone else entirely, and who I am is lost because I changed who I am?
So yeah, I do know what you're saying about, like, you know, you let go of the layers and unlayer the layers, so you become who you always were. And yes, I did use the word reinvent, but I guess just, you know, like the crazy thing is, so I was that version of myself, like that was still with me, you know, for so long, and this version of me for so little, but I barely remember. Like, it seems like that version of me is so far away, you know? And yes, I did strip away like this layer and that layer, and I feel a lot lighter. Like so much lighter. Like it's just crazy. Like my life just seems just so chill lately, like, you know. And I meditate a lot, and I do a lot of like healing practices to keep myself grounded and energetically balanced and stuff. And yes, if we're going to speak about how, yes, we all are born as pure love, and then we all these things happen to us, and it's kind of that full circle of hoping people will at one point start holding themselves accountable for everything that happened along this road and refine who they were at this point, right? So I guess it would be a better way to describe it to say stripped away everything that piled on throughout the years to confuse who I was from the beginning.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful, in A Course in Miracles, it speaks of creativity as an extending oneself, or right? Extending the self, right? So it's I think that's beautiful how this falling away of things that you realize were not who you are, right? Because it says, you know, who you are cannot be changed, right? It's always true. So it's actually we can only change our mind about the world. We cannot change the world. In this, that is basically a statement from A Course in Miracles. So I think it's beautiful how you are, it's lighter, right? And it's freer, and you're feeling really energized. That describes this dropping away of all this guilt, all this feeling bad about oneself and others and this and that, right? All this blaming. So, and I'm sure you went through all these processes of stopping to blame, stopping to feel guilty and so on. And maybe you would like to describe how you did that, because that's really important for all of us to go through that and become lighter, as you described it, discover how light we can be, right? Yeah. Maybe, and I'm sure there's no end to that. So probably we can be so light that we're only happy, right, all the time. Anyways.
For me, I did a handful of things to help me. Like, meditation really did help with, like, learning how to, like, you know what voice was mine and what voice was the talker, if you will, also I did a lot of energy work around my traumas, and so forgiveness was really wrapped up in that, in the sense of forgiving people from my past who may have, you know, caused these traumas. So my father with his alcoholism, and in just any, you know, everyone has their mother wounds, their father wounds, sister wounds and stuff, right? But just going back in time and forgiving what was, and understanding that they only can do the best that they can do with what they've had and where they are. So there's to not blame, but to have more compassion around, you know, what their upbringing was, or what tools and modalities that they may not have had, and really just to know they did do the best they can with what they had. And so putting aside all the blame of, you know, of they did this to me, or even the blame of myself, how I may have been shitty to people while being in that addict state, because sometimes I wouldn't pull through because I couldn't, right? And stuff like that, right? So just forgiving myself for who I was then, and not blaming myself, but I was also doing the best I could with who I was then. When I talk about, like, the energy healing around traumas, like, I would go into different meditations or sort of like a hypnosis state and have conversations with younger Mandy. So helping heal her, like, child Mandy or teenage Mandy from the Mandy I am now. So that was one of the things that, like, really helped me. And even just changing up my routines, like I had when I first started healing, I needed to have control, very much control over my mornings. And that really helped. I did gratitude every morning. I would write gratitude, 10 things I was grateful for. And I actually followed the book, The Magic, over and over and over again. There's different practices in there. I made sure I was working out. I made sure I was eating better. Just so many things that I put on like the back burner because my only priority, what it was, when do I get high, right? But yeah, just having those tools in place moving forward. And I still do all those things now, but you know, they keep me, like I said, grounded, and I feel lighter. And if things do start to pile up, I don't turn to alcohol or drugs. I take a step back and I will do a meditation. I'll go outside in nature. I will call, one of my healers and say, look, I need a session. Like, let's tap in. What's going on? And I'm dealing with things in a lot healthier way. And I'm way more self-aware of what is happening within and what I need to help keep the lightness there and also improving, right?
Yeah, those are a lot of really important points, right? This awareness of what's going on, the willingness to get help, right? That's also a tool you are using, the knowledge of what helps when it's not so severe, then you can do a meditation or go out and walk or whatever. I think that's really beautiful that you've chosen, okay, I'm not going to go to that place where I went before, where I thought it was solving something, but it wasn't, right? Because otherwise mm-hmm. you wouldn't have left it, right? If it had really solved something for you, it didn't, right? So you found things that actually do help, which I think is really, really remarkable and beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions you got for me?
There's plenty of things we can talk about. So let's go a little deeper into this whole shift of view. So You changed your mind about so many things, even about yourself, right? Or that included you, right? Who you think you are, right? Because in A Course in Miracles, who you are is not something you can debate about. That's something that is set in stone, so to speak. It's forever. But who you think you are is something that is continually shifting, right? Until you let go of that. Right, so it's a false idol, who we think we are. So I think you're discovering more and more about how to let go of the false idol, right? Mm-hmm. And that includes what you were speaking about, forgiveness, right? And of course, in Miracles, it speaks of forgiveness as nothing ever happened, nothing really happened there. So you're actually forgiving because you think something that happened that caused something else, this and that, right? Because who you are cannot be changed, is always this available to you, is always fully there. So nothing actually happened to disturb that peace in truth. And that's the forgiveness it speaks of, right? So letting go of judgment, letting go of false idols. So who you think you are, what you think the world is, right? And discovering a totally new view in which you are happy, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's quite an interesting journey, this human experience, for sure. And I just think that, you know, it's also important for like people to realize that, you know, even like I'm a prime example, even if you've gone down this path for so long and you aren't happy with the way it is going, like you do have the power within always to make those changes and have the desired life and flow that you want in your want for yourself. You know, it's never too late to get back to, you know, like you were saying, who we truly are, like underneath all those layers, right?
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful. And this is a process. I think that's why also the podcast is called The Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy. So we're saying, you know, the curriculum is actually a joyful curriculum, even if we think it isn't at the present moment, right? And so the beauty, it's really beautiful that you were able to shift in this way and you're continuing to shift. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And so I will open the floor for questions. If any of the participants here wants to ask a question, you're welcome to. And otherwise, I will continue with my questions. So, okay, looks like, yeah, you can think about it. If you have a question, you just raise your hand and we will do our best to respond in whatever way we're capable of at this point. So, yeah. So what have you discovered about who you are in truth, right? Because this has been, you've been letting go of all these layers, as you call them, right? Of things that are not who you are, right? And so You must have discovered more about who you actually are. And maybe you'd like to describe that to us so that we get a feel for that, because it's a really amazing discovery. And I think it's exciting all the time. At least you're describing it as a very exciting experience.
Yeah, so I always knew I like felt a lot. Like I was like, I always knew I was an like empathic, right? But I never realized how energy sensitive I am and how like empathic I am. And once I like stopped using drugs and alcohol, it actually was like pretty intense, like being like sober in the world, like in crowds and people, because I literally feel everything from everything. And I didn't know, sometimes I didn't know like how to handle it or what was happening. And it was very weird for me because I've always been extremely social and big, like, you know, big parties, big crowds, and never once did I ever feel out of place or off because, you know, I was right in the crowd partying or whatever. And then just really noticing how sensitive I am to people, to things. And so I also have to take care of myself in a different way, in the sense of like, I can't just go, right? And I used to always want to be with people and doing something and all this kind of stuff. And I think partial of that was like not wanting to be alone with my mind, right? And now like I love being by myself. Like I can spend 2 days just in my apartment and be fine with not socializing with people. And I'm very content on just working on my projects, doing like just working in general, journaling, reading, you know, just being with me. So that is a huge new discovery, to realize that like, oh, like I don't need to be with people all the time. And obviously the energy thing, like I also have to take care of myself in a different way, in the sense where, I mean, I sure it was affecting me before, but because of my lifestyle, I never knew if I was feeling off or weird because of the energies I was absorbing, because I didn't know that was a thing, or if it was because I was up for 2 days, right? Like, I didn't give myself a chance to learn who I was. Basically, I had always had these barriers that were stopping me from truly knowing that. And so, yeah, so now if I am out with people and all this stuff, like I have to put limits on it. And, you know, if I have three events in a row in the evening, then I got to take a break for 2 days. Like I, you know, it's very different in that sense. And, but yeah, like I said, I love being alone, so it's okay. But it was very interesting discovering and like learning that I had to say no to things, and also being very conflicted about this label I had of like always, you know, always the social butterfly, always doing something. And I had been that, like I said, version or that label for so long. And then like telling myself like, well, it's, you're not that, you don't, you're still social, you can still be social, but you don't have to always be doing stuff because it's not healthy for you anymore. Like you're not enjoying it. It runs you down too much. You have to take care of yourself. And it was like letting that layer drop of what I thought I was to like who I really am. So that was a big one, like this, the shift in my social life, basically. Yeah, that was a big one. Because yeah, the energy thing is so real. Like I don't even like working in the office, in an office, because I'm sensitive to the lights. I'm sensitive to like the extra noises. Like if there's too many people going around, then it's like, I'd much rather be working at home by myself where I can control like what's happening around me. So yeah, just a lot of differences in the way I do my life now.
And was there also a shift in your professional life, or did you continue doing the same jobs that you had done before, or are you in that job, still in that job, or is that, did that shift as well, or not?
Yeah, so when I first started doing drugs, I was a server, so that it was very easy for that to be part of my lifestyle. I did shift out of serving, but still continued to party. So for 8 years, I've been in this promotional branding industry. And actually 2 years ago, I decided to branch off and just have my own little company. So, cause I noticed I didn't like working in the office. I didn't like having to, you know, basically answer to somebody telling me like when I had to be somewhere and you have to be at your desk at 9 to 5. And that lifestyle just didn't work for me. That wasn't what I wanted. And everyone kept telling me, oh, well, this is how this industry works. And I was like, well, this doesn't work for me, but I do want to continue in this industry. So I'm just going to do it my way. And now I actually, so some of my clients came with me through the process, which was awesome. And then, you know, starting basically like my own company right when COVID hit was a interesting hurdle all on its own because no one was buying anything. but I did push through, and now I like kind of switched things up to a whole other gear, because before I used to work a lot from home. I did have an office I could go to, just could go there sometimes to get a little bit of the social aspect and stuff. But that also wasn't something I loved. I didn't love being in the location that I was in. So I decided to see if I could create this industry for me to be able to be a work from anywhere situation. So, I had been going back and forth to Costa Rica just for like a few months at a time over the winter when I was with like the other company. But I wanted to be able to just go like, and not worry about returning for in a couple of months or all that kind of stuff. So I switched some things around, made some different arrangements back in Winnipeg. And I'm now living, well, I was in Costa Rica. Now I'm in Nicaragua. I can literally just take my laptop and have Wi-Fi and do this from anywhere. Like, so I've completely shifted the way this industry, I was told, or where when I started in this industry, and like what it was, to something that works better for me. I didn't have to say goodbye to the job. I just had to get creative and test out a few different theories and get the right people on board so that I could leave. And yeah, here I am. So.
Yeah, that's a huge shift to actually see that option. Right? For many, many, many people, they see themselves in the job and the job stays the same, right? Whether you change companies or not, it's still the same job, right? And you were able to shift to the way you live that job, right? You're doing the work, but you're doing it in a way that suits you rather than what suits a particular company.
Right? So yeah, exactly. Office, and I mean,
that's a huge, I mean, to be honest, that's huge.
I've known for a long time that I needed to be my own boss, and I always had these bigger dreams of creating this life of time freedom, financial freedom. And that was also, you know, one of the things that I knew I would never achieve if I stayed in that, that life of drugs and drinking. And, you know, just to, you know, kind of pat myself on the back a little bit, like, it's only been 3 years, and I feel that I have with, you know, and I'm not saying no, and other people can do this too, but you got to put in the work, right? In 3 years, I've literally changed so many things about what used to be to make a life that makes me happy, makes me flow, makes me feel, you know, like I'm living the human experience the way it's meant to be lived. Obviously, I still have my challenges. I still cry. I still feel pain, but it's different now because I have the proper tools in place. I have the community that I need, you know, lifestyle creation that allows me to take space when I need to, like, you know, like if I don't have to rush to the office at 9 to 5. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, that some people love it. I have friends who they love having that structure, and good, because we need people who love to do it, because I don't want to like, you know, but the world needs that in order for things to spin properly. But I just, once again, want to just say, like, if there is something else you want in your life, something that you're desiring, some way you want to live, like, you can do it, like, just one step at a time. Like, this for me didn't happen overnight. I, you know, like, I took on one challenge after the other. And obviously there were, you know, very challenging moments and very tough moments and moments I didn't think I'd get through, like, just with, you know, things. Like, that's also part of the human experience. You fall, and but I got back up. And anyone can do whatever it is that is that they want to create or design for themselves, and, like, never give up. It might take 5-10 years to get to the, you know, thing. And I also feel we'll probably never really reach all of the end, because we have so much to create out of this life, right? Like, and it's not a bad thing to want to keep on those desires, but I just want to add, it is important to recognize and be grateful for everything now, you know, even when working towards other things that they want, like, you know, so to have that gratitude of, like, the present moment is still as beautiful as this life I desire to make, right? So it's not to forget that.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, the point of saying yes to what's here now, and being able to, okay, there is a way for everyone, right? Which I think is remarkable, because if, you know, you think, oh, there's a way for me, and then let go of all the others, right? You probably won't get there, because you need this view that everyone can do it, right? Everyone can remember who they are in terms of A Course in Miracles, right? Everyone is capable of remembering who they truly are, right? And so that gives you the power to see others in a different way as well. Right? You're a totally different presence for everyone, right? Because of that. And yes, there's going to be the hard times are part of it, of course, right? Because changing your mind about the world can be hard, right? But it can be easy too, depending on what's going on, right? And how you are seeing it at that time. And yes, recognizing what doesn't belong to who you are is also a huge thing, right? This doesn't feel right, and I deserve to experience things differently, see them differently. I mean, the big thing is to see that, have the idea that it's possible, right?
Yes.
That's a huge thing to say, okay, it is, I deserve to be happy, right? I deserve to live a life that I enjoy and so on. And then to say it's possible, right? Because, you know, yes. you might have the idea, yes, I deserve it, I this and that, but it's not possible, right? There's so many things I want that are in the way. So to actually say it is possible, and then to shift your mind about these things, right? Okay, let's see what's working now, right? Like you said, okay, the present is so powerful. There's things that are working out now I can be grateful about.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, it's like once people see it happen once, it helps them to believe it is possible, right? Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 4 mile minute where they said like, you can't possibly run like this minute distance, like, or you can't run 4 miles in a minute. You just can't do it. You can't do it. They said told the whole world. And then one person did it. And then another person did it. Another person, then another person. And it was like, well, like because like nobody believed that they could except for one person. And then as soon as that one person broke the record, so many people followed suit because they saw it so they can believe it. So just, you know, listening to these, one of the things that helped push me was inspirational speakers, were motivational speakers, people talking about where they were to where they are now, and me thinking if they can do it, I can do it, you know? And I think the more people that, you know, talk about their stories and the more people share, the more powerful we will be as one, because we'll be able to feel that power from that other person, which we will be able to hopefully take on and adapt into ourselves.
Yeah, it's important to see each other as capable, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a huge shift, right? And so yes, if you see people who see everyone as capable, right? You hear them, you can hear their stories, you can understand, you can relate, right? The big thing is that what's so powerful about is that one can relate to it, right? Because it's not like they're telling stories that are not human stories, and they're like superhero stories where you can't even follow, right? Because you don't know that, you don't think you have any superpowers, right? Usually these are people, really ordinary people, right? Who've went through a whole lot of shit, if you want to use the word, and then decided, made a choice to change their minds about things and shifted, right? Mm-hmm. And then they continue to shift. And yes, sometimes it took a lot of time, sometimes it was immediate, right? But it's always very powerful. So that's why I'm so thankful to have so many wonderful guests here on this podcast as well, who share.
Yeah, dude, you're doing a good thing, helping people uplift other people. So good job.
So any questions at this point by anyone? Okay, doesn't look like it. Well, you can, like I said before, anytime you want to ask a question or comment or share something, just raise your hand. So anyways, yeah. Let's see, what else can we go into? So maybe we should go in. Yeah, I mean, you did share a lot of the difficulties you went through, especially with all the inner turmoil that was going on, that that you discovered wasn't good, was no longer something you wanted to go through all the time, and that the drugs and all these and these social events were not helping with that. Right? They were not taking it away, because you had, of course, that's one of the hopes that many people have. Okay, I'm going to do this, and then it's going to be gone, right? And so, right. Yeah, but that didn't work, and you. And the amazing thing is to decide if it doesn't work, not to do it anymore. That is a huge thing, right? Because that's not something that you come to immediately, right? Because yeah, you think, then I'll just do more of it and then it will be better, right? Maybe I'm doing too little of it, right? Like guilt trip yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, because like, it's just all I knew, right, too. So, I was getting, you know, dopamine from the cocaine. So my body stopped producing it naturally, right? So then when, you know, I'm feeling super low, my body isn't naturally producing this stuff. So I was like, oh, well, I know what would make me feel better. Like, you know, and so I had to go through a whole point where, you know, like, I was low and, you know, and let my body reproduce it naturally and let my brain start to heal. And like, but just knowing what was on the other end really helped push through those painful moments. And it is important for people to have people, you know, when they are recovering. So not to be shy to like reach out. I mean, if you're shy, there's lots of things online for people to do that they don't have to show face, right? But there are groups to go to too. But I do know some people who tried to do it alone and they just fall back into it, because then when they're by themselves too much, you know, then they, you know, lean on what they've always known because they're just trying to get out of it again, you know? I think it's important that we find our community when we're healing, no matter what it is that we're healing, you know?
Yeah, when did you decide that there's people who understand you?
I was grateful that I had some friends already that I had known that chose to also stop partying or didn't party. So I did have some people to like lean on in that sense. And then I actually did go away to Costa Rica for a few months. It just sort of lined up that way that when I had decided I was going away, and then I had a trip planned already. And I know not everyone can just like go to the tropics and heal, but the universe just lined that up for me, and I was able to get away from everything that was the same, which really helped. Sorry. So, you know, changing environment is important, even if it is within like your same city, because if you're repeating the patterns that you've been repeating the whole time you're using, whether, you know, it's drugs, alcohol, even anything that's making you unhappy, like really switching your environment and discovering new things, go even just driving different ways, places, start doing things differently. And that will help retraining your brain of doing things differently, you know? But yeah.
So this was a way of becoming more flexible so that you could allow yourself to do something differently.
Yeah, well, what do you mean? Sorry.
Well, you were saying that changing routines, changing changing the way you would get to someplace, like driving a different route, things like that, that was very helpful. And that was, and as I can see, that's not a difficult thing to do. Let's say it's not too difficult. It's something low key, right? It's not much.
Yeah.
It's not scary.
But just changing your routine, changing, because then you're switching up even just the channels in your brain of like not doing the same thing, which will lead to the same thing, right? And so those are small things that you can do that will help. Like there, I mean, but yeah, that's something I think is important for people to, even with anything they're trying to change, start changing stuff then. Like if they're, you know, and once you start changing small habits, you get used to the uncomfortableness of it, that you can start changing the bigger habits too, right? That are unhealthy or making you unhappy.
Yeah, so it's basically you're training yourself to know that there are other ways, right? You can do things differently. And then exactly, you can, yeah. And once you feel comfortable with that idea that you can do things differently, you actually can do things that have not been shifting at all differently with time, right? May not happen right away, but so let's say that sounds like a good first step. I think that's good advice, you know, to start with little shifts that are not problematic, right? Right, like just going around the block the other way around. Who cares, right? Yeah, or just calling a different friend first.
Yeah, exactly. Just little things, you know, brush your teeth with the opposite hand. Just start doing things that are different. And it's just, yeah, because you're just retraining yourself, you know, and yeah, we really can. Our minds are quite interesting, and we do have the power to change the wiring, if you will. We just have to be aware that the wiring is something we can control, right? Like people start to live a certain way for so long that they just believe that's the way that they should be living or feeling. And even though they may feel uncomfortable or they're not happy, they start to believe that that's just the way they are, not knowing that they actually have the power within to feel different. But because they've lived this way for so long, they now think that's who they are, you know? And there's lots of people who are like suffering out there because their thought patterns aren't serving them, you know? So these things that we could shift in our mind would make such a huge difference in everything else in our life, you know? But yeah, it's obviously, you have to start small, work your way up, and eventually your mind will just be different and you'll feel how you are always meant to feel.
Yeah, that's a big, and that's beautiful and big, right? Yeah, at the same time. So these little tiny little things can lead to these great, great things. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What else can we go into? So there's so much. So one of the things A Course in Miracles says is heaven is within you, right? So you're saying, yes, there is this within you that knows what to do, right? Everyone has that. And I think that's a very beautiful thing to see. So when you see people who are struggling and so on, what do you see in them? Do you see them as, what do you see them like?
When people are struggling, I see them as, you know, hurt beings normally. Like what happens is, you know, we pick up these things along the way that start to shape us and pull us down, because, you know, and unless we face them like truly and then we're going to keep these repeated patterns to come to our life, right? You know, so when I see someone struggling, like I can see like the wounded child, I can see like, you know, how the, let's say the bad relationship after the bad relationship, just like what that's done damage to their minds and then to their hearts, right? Because then they start to believe that like either they're not worthy or, you know, like that they almost maybe deserve this treatment and stuff. And I hold compassion for every human, because we've all gone through something or are going through something. Like there's not one person who doesn't have some sort of trauma story, whether it's you know, little traumas that have piled up or like big traumas, right? We all have stuff that has caused some sort of struggle within. And then I said earlier, like it just, there comes a point where it's up to us as adults now, or as, you know, older beings, to hold ourselves accountable for what may have happened in our past and start to heal from that. So we don't repeat some of these patterns and pass them towards, you know, other people and children, and just, you know, try to, even if it's just those like a small change that you're making, just so that you're not repeating and giving the same types of like traumas to your children or to your friends or whatever, right? Like they do say hurt people, and you know, not all hurt people, but you know, you see that all the time. And it does. It makes me sad, and I feel for them, but I also feel now it's up to them to look within and stop their pain, so they stop projecting it on other people, right? Like, because it's up to us. Like once we become a certain age, like I believe we need to start, you know, really holding ourselves accountable for who we decide to be and how or who we decide to continue being, in the sense of, are we going to get those layers shaved off, or we can continue to pile them on, right? So
yeah, so one of the things that A Course in Miracles also likes to us to think about is seeing each other as holy, as sinless, no matter what we may see in the outer or in what we think is going on. If you see that, you're actually helping a lot. So if you can see your fellows, see everyone as holy and whole and complete, rather than seeing them as deficient and incapable and whatever, unhealed and whatever else, you are actually doing a lot just by changing your mind. Because it also is saying that you are holy, that you are whole, that you are complete, right?
Yeah, but I also think it's important for, you know, people to, you know, to understand that they don't have to keep just, you know, like, yes, we can see these people as whole, but they're struggling, or however you want to word it, but that doesn't mean that we need to keep those people close in our lives if how they're treating us is not, you know, good for us, right? Like, I can speak about this for my father, for he's still an alcoholic. He treats me horribly. I chose not to have it in my life. I still have compassion for what he has gone through and what he is going through. But I have stepped back and said, enough is enough. I'm not your punching bag. I'm not here to take the abuse from you. You know, I wish him well, but to me, you know, you like, I can hold that compassion for where he has gone and been in his life, but still save my space and my energy from the verbal abuse that he continues to project on me, you know? So I feel people, it's important, you know, to understand that you can hold both spaces. You can hold the compassion and understand why they are the way they are, but still hold compassion for yourself in the sense of protecting yourself from that energy that's not healthy for you.
Yeah, I think it's important that seeing each other as whole and holy is a huge way of being safe. Because you, like you said, you no longer need to put yourself in that situation, right? If you don't feel like it, right? And you have all these choices because you are no longer seeing people as deficient and yourself as deficient. Mm. Right? So it changes everything. And I think that's, yes, no is part of that. To say no to things is part of recognizing our sinlessness and holiness, right? And who we are, mm-hmm, in truth. Saying no and saying yes, right? Both. Because yes, you need, yeah, to say yes to who you are too. You need to say yes to, okay, enjoying things, right? Because one of the big takeaways from guilt is, right, is that you don't allow yourself to enjoy anything for a long time, right? It's always, you know, maybe a moment of like glee or something might be allowed, but not more, right? And so, mm-hmm, so this, that's a huge shift to allow that, right? So you can be happy even if you can see that someone else is not, doesn't look happy, right? Doesn't mean that you're not going to compassionate or anything, right? It's actually more compassionate than being stuck in the view of deficiency.
Yeah.
So any comments or sharings to come? Otherwise, we will start wrapping up.
Maybe the questions will come later. No
problem about that. No, if anyone has a question afterwards or wants to share anything, that's possible, of course, right? We will have your links in the show notes. And yeah, and to reach me, of course, anyone who has found the podcast can reach me. So anyways, yeah, so this is really important. I think that's really beautiful that you're able to have compassion and at the same time choose not to get into the conflict, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not holding the conflict as something that you need to experience in order to grow.
No, I did that already. Yeah. I mean, obviously, as you know, any other human, you want your father to see you, to love you, to choose you. And so, you know, I did this dance with him for years, you know, where I'd let him back in and nothing, you know, it'd be good for a while. And then just the same thing. And just the more I started to heal myself and love myself more and see what I deserved and how I wanted to be treated, that's when I was able to, you know, more and more put those boundaries around the relationship with my father. So yeah.
Yeah, so I think you've given a lot of examples of what we are capable of, right, as human beings, and how much we can trust that source within us that knows what to do, and how we can trust it to lead us to
help. So to give us the power to ask for help when we need it, and to give help when we can give it. Right? Because I think that's one of the most beautiful things is you're willing to talk about it, for instance, right? Is recognizing that what you have to share is helpful to others, right? It's not, so no matter how difficult or how hard it was, right, for you, what you have gained from it is helpful, and even the sharing about the difficulties you went through is helpful, right? And I think that's also something that that's why I appreciate everyone who's willing to share, right? Because I know that no matter what the story or no matter what the experience, there is so much in there for all of us, right? And we all have a lot to gain by listening to each other and learning together. And then A Course in Miracles says we're walking each other home. So yes, that's the beauty of it. Yeah. So anything I haven't asked about you'd like to share at this point?
Not that I can think of. I feel we did a good job of talking about a lot of different things.
So then if maybe you want to say it verbally, if someone wants to reach you, how can they reach out to you?
Sure. So like either on Instagram or Facebook, it's just at Mandy Alexis Motivation. So you can find me on there. You can DM me and just, you know, follow me and check out what kind of things I put up. And I hope everybody has a great day.
Yeah. And so anyone who wants to reach out to me, who would like to be a guest like Mandy has been today, just reach out to me and we'll find a way. So that's an offer. And yeah. Thank you for listening, for participating, for being here with us on this beautiful journey of walking each other home and growing together in remembering who we are. This is so, so, so worthy of us. So we're all worthy of this journey together. So thank you so much, Mandy, for sharing.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So please review the podcast, listen to it, share about it, and subscribe. That cool. Helps more people find it. And if you know anyone who you think could be a great guest here, maybe let them know that they can be a guest here and they can reach out to me, or in whatever way that works out, I'd be really thrilled.
Cool.
To say the least. So thank you so much.
And you're welcome.
Until next time.